We're going to talk about algebra today, but first, does Evan, who can tell me what arithmetic is?
I've heard of it. When you add, subtract, multiply, or divide numbers.
Yes, so arithmetic involves addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division, as well as numbers. And quite often we'll make arithmetic expressions or equations. So who can give me an example of an arithmetic expression?
1 plus 2.
1 plus 2, excellent. Who can give me an example of an arithmetic equation? Right in the back there.
1 plus 2 is 3.
1 plus 2 is equal to 3. So, what's the difference between an equation and an expression?
An expression only has one side of there's no like answer, but for an equation that has two sides to the problem, the answer and the expression.
Yeah, so an expression is essentially just a statement using addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division. And an equation has two expressions that are supposedly equal. Unless you've made a mistake or something like that, but yes. So an equation has two equal expressions, quite often written differently so that we could see a rule. For example, 1 plus 2 is equal to 3. Pretty simple. So now, if we go over to algebra, we still have our addition, our subtraction, our multiplication and division. But we also have variables. Variables and numbers. Who can tell me what a variable is? We've kind of covered this in some of our last classes. We've used things similar, yes?
Variable is to represent a number, so it can be any number.
A variable represents a number, so it could be any number, but we use some sort of a symbol. Quite often we'll use alphabetic letters like A, B, C, and D.
X.
X, Y, and Z. X is probably the most popular.
N
is quite a popular one. So quite often we use letters as our symbols though. So again, variable is written right here. Symbol that's used to represent a number and an expression or equation. And variables are useful when we know what an expression or equation should look like, but
we don't know
what the numbers are yet. So here's an example. The area of a rectangle. What we're gonna do is I wanna first introduce variables to represent the numbers that we're going to be dealing with. Quite often, in a situation, every variable is going to have some sort of specific meaning. So we're going to say we're going to let A and capital A be the area of the rectangle. So this is A in here. But we're also going to introduce variables for the length and the width. Let L length.
No,
let
W. You would consider that as an E.
B. The width. So we'll put the length along here. So who can tell me what the formula for area is?
Length times width equals area.
Yes. So what we can do now is instead of writing all that out in words, we can write an algebraic equation to represent that formula. So area is equal to length times width. This is a formula, but it's also like an algebraic equation. Formulas essentially state rules that always hold no matter what. So we don't actually know what the length and width are yet, but we know that the area is always going to be the product of the two. So we can have this formula, this equation, kind of in the back of our minds. We can use it later if we gain information about, let's say, the length and the width, or the area and the length, to figure out the third unknown variable. So what we're going to cover now is some abbreviations that we use when we're doing algebra and that kind of thing. So our first abbreviation has to do with multiplication. So if we have two expressions multiplied together, how we would abbreviate that is like this. So we would abbreviate that as expression one, and instead of putting a multiplication sign, we would just put the next item right up next to it. Put the two items that we're multiplying right beside one another. So an example of this, if we were going to use variables, might be A times B, for example. If we had two variables like that, would be abbreviated as just AB.
My dog.
Yeah.
If we had a number times a variable. Yes?
You put the number first and then the variable?
Yes, you put the number first then the variable. Technically, you could put the number second, and it would still be correct, but just in general, people find it easier to standardize it writing the number first than the variable. What about if we had 7 times 6, and we wanted to abbreviate that? 42, yes. We could just write the product of the two numbers, but what if we actually still wanted to keep it written as 7 times 6?
7 bracket, 6 bracket.
Yes, that's right. So you put it in brackets,
or
like that.
Or you could just put a dot between
them. You could put a dot, but we're trying to get rid of any of the signs. I would consider a dot the same as like a multiplication symbol in this example. We want to get rid of it if we're going to be abbreviating. So. Who might have an idea how we abbreviate division now, if we move on to division?
You put the number, and then a line, and then the other number?
Yes, you write it essentially like a fraction. Notice that I've actually dropped the brackets on these expressions, though. It's automatically assumed that if you have a line and an entire expression on top of that line, that the entire expression should be calculated first before the division happens. So you don't necessarily need the brackets on the top and bottom. You can remove those. So if we had a plus b divided by 2, what would that look like?
A plus b, and then a line under it, and then under the line 2.
Yep. A plus b over 2. Is how we would read that, yes.
But would you need a bracket if you put expression 1 times expression 2 on the top, and then you wanted to divide that by something else? Would you need the brackets on
it? I think I understand your question. And if you had something like this, where we had 2 minus a, let's say, times 3 minus b divided by c, or something like that, then yes, what you would have to do is you would have to have 2 minus a times 3 minus b. You'd have to keep those brackets. That's a bracket there. And then you could put that all over C. That's how that would be abbreviated. So the brackets between these two multiplications would have to be kept, but we don't have to put brackets around this whole thing. Like, we didn't have to put those there. Those are extra. The last one here, we have the same expression multiplied by itself. How would we abbreviate that? Right in the back? Get your hand up first. How would you abbreviate expression 1 multiplied by itself?
Expression 1 squared.
Squared. You would put
an exponent.
You'd put an exponent. So we would put a little 2 up on the right corner. Has anyone not seen power notation before?
A what?
Has anyone not seen this notation before where we put a little number up in the top right corner? What I'll do real quick here is I'm just going to explain exponent notation really quick here, or power notation. So if we have some number a, and let's say the exponent 3, for example, something like that. This part's called the base. For those of you who may have not seen this, this part's called the exponent. And what this is an abbreviation for is how many times the base is multiplied by itself. How many copies of the base to multiply together. So if we have a on the bottom and 3 on the top, that means we need to multiply 3 copies of a together. Yes?
I just want to say
that's right. This is actually represents a times a times a. If we were to write it out using multiplication symbols and just the variable. Okay? Let's keep going here. Okay, time to do the first couple exercises.
Okay.
All right, so let's go through this quick. Yes, in the back. You could write it as 16, but again, the exercise asks us to abbreviate it, not necessarily to evaluate. So the hope is that you would write 4 squared plus n squared. So yes, this first one's right, 4 squared plus n squared. What I would recommend is staying in the same case as the letter was originally given in, because sometimes you run into an equation where you have a capital N and a small n in the same question, and you don't want to get them confused. Yes.
I have a question.
Yep.
If you take like half of x, what would it be equal to, or half of x when you have x to the power of 6, would it be equal to x cubed?
No. It would not. I can go over with that with you later, but I want to keep going through the lesson first, okay? All right, exercise 2. This one, again, we abbreviate the division by putting a minus b over top of a plus b. So the number that you start with goes on top, and the number that you divide by goes on the bottom. Question number 3. This is one way that we could abbreviate it. If we abbreviated the multiplication, we would have 6 times what was in the brackets, and if we abbreviate what's in the brackets, 2 divided by x, we get 2 over x. And the last one here is using the power rule. We have x multiplied together 6 times, so that is written as x to the power of 6. X to the exponent 6. Okay? Exercise 2, I want you guys to go backwards now. I want you guys to write in the multiplication signs and division signs and then that would normally be in here. This is just m times n. Important to note here that brackets needed to be put around p plus q, because this whole phrase needs to be evaluated before it's divided by r. Correct? And the last phrase here, we have x times y times y. Now that we've had some practice with abbreviating algebraic expressions and manipulating them and kind of seeing what they look like, we're going to move into substitution. So quite often you'll have an expression, something maybe like 3x plus 5, and we're going to be asked to evaluate that at a specific value of x. So when x is equal to a certain number. So what we're going to do here is we're going to substitute x is equal to 4 into our equation here. So we have 3x plus 5, and this is equal to, so what we're going to do is we'll write our 3, and then in place of x, we're going to write what it's equal to. We're going to write 4 plus 5, which is equal to, if you want to do 2 steps, that's fine. 17, so 12 plus 5, which is equal to 17. So that's how we would write a substitution question. We would list our original expression, okay? Then we substitute in the values for where the variables are, making sure that if necessary, you need to put brackets around it, do so. Here we needed to put brackets around the 4 because it's being multiplied by the 3, right? Remember we ran into that earlier when we talked about abbreviating multiplication? Yes?
What do you do for the substitutions? Isn't it like a bed mass? So you just do brackets and then.
Yeah, you can apply that mess here too. That's correct. But the first thing you want to do probably is substitute in the value for the variable before you start doing your arithmetic. Okay? So exercise 3. I'm going to go ahead and fill this in, but I would love to have some input from you on the answers to this. So number 1, right in the front here. Could I have some input for number 2? What would the first step look like? Sure, in front there. What would the first step for number 2 look like?
Wouldn't we just put a variable for step x, so let's just say 5?
So x is equal to 5, so we put in 5 for x, plus, and then for y, 4, and then that evaluates to 9. Okay, number 3, right in the back there.
45.
It's 45. Can you tell me the steps?
Yeah, because it's x squared, which is 25, and then you add.
Well, we need to substitute in for x first, right? So the first step, if we're going to show all the substitution steps, well, not quite. You want to substitute in the 5 first, and then have that squared. That's how I would show the steps.
And then plus
5,
then plus
4. Yeah, sorry, so 5 times 4.
Yeah.
And then this is equal to 25 plus 20, right? And you said that the total was 45, which is correct. So number four.
8 times 5 divided by 4.
Which is equal to?
40 divided by 4. Okay, 10.
40 divided by 4, sorry, yeah?
10.
Which is equal to 10. Great. So there we go. Yes.
For the question where it says x squared plus 5y, do you need to put the brackets around the 5?
So the question is, do we need to put the brackets around this 5? In this particular situation, no, but it never hurts to put in brackets around whatever you're substituting in, because that way you know it won't be confused with the rest of your arithmetic. It's just an extra cautionary step. If you're not sure, go ahead and put the extra brackets in, is what I would say. So, now here's an example where we can use our formula for area to show that we can substitute in other variables in place of one another. So, for the volume of any prism, well, first of all, let's write what our variables are going to do. Let's let V be the volume of the prism. Who can tell me what the formula for the volume of a prism is?
Length times width times height.
For a rectangular prism, yes, that is a formula. But what about for just any prism? Triangular, hexagonal, right there. Zach.
Area of base times height.
Area of the base times height. So let's let A be the area, and let H be the height. Then we have that the area times the height is equal to the volume. And we can write this using our variables. So volume is equal to area. And you know what? What I'll do here is I'll actually abbreviate it. So I won't write in the multiplication symbol. I will just write in AH. Now, recall that the area of a rectangle could be represented as A is equal to L times W, which, again, we can get rid of that multiplication symbol if we want, and just write them side by side. So what we can do is here, if we have V is equal to area times height, we can substitute in, if we have A in terms of other variables, we can actually substitute in those variables instead of A. So specifically for a rectangular prism where we have length, width, and height, this can be written as instead, well actually what I'll do is, rather than writing volume out again, I'll just say this is also equal to length times width times height. Does that make sense to everybody?
Yeah.
So quite often, if you're solving more complicated problems, what you'll have to do is you'll consider every significant number in the situation, then you can assign a variable for each of those, and then you can relate them somehow and substitute in other formulas and equations to eventually solve for one variable. And solving for a variable is going to be our last subject here. So if we look at this equation right here, can anyone tell me what x might be equal to in this question?
4.
4. So how did you get that?
Got it.
You just got it? You looked at the equation and you kind of figured it out from that, right?
Oh, you looked at the answer.
You looked at the answer? Well, that's what this whole phrase is equal to. That's not what x is equal to.
It's not saying the x equals 4, it's saying the answer to the equation is 4.
Yes, it is true that this whole division is equal to 4, but it's not necessarily that x is equal to 4. Right in the back there.
It's zero.
It's four. You actually have zero. Well, let's try a couple things. If we actually do try 4, we get that 2 times 4 plus 4 divided by 3. That's equal to 12 over 3, which is equal to 4. So, in fact, if x is equal to 4, that does make this equation correct. Yes. So how we could solve this more systematically, rather than just looking at it and guessing and checking, is we can actually do what's called solving for x, which is what the question asks us to do right here. Yes?
Are you a teacher or can I say how?
I'm going to teach you here, so it's okay. So what we do is, if we give an equation like this, what we can do is we can perform arithmetic operations to both sides at the same time, and that will maintain equality. For example, and I'm going to write a little side example over here. So if we had 2 plus 1 is equal to 3, well, if we add 5 to both sides, so 2 plus 1 plus 5 equal to 3 plus 5, well, those two phrases are still equal. They've changed, but the equality is still the same. So the idea is that we want to do a bunch of these operations and eventually get x by itself, isolated, and then we'll find out what x is equal to. What should our first operation be? Who can tell me?
Okay, never mind. Like, is it for the phrase, or do you, like, can I, like, take these over to the other side?
No. What I want you to do, I don't want you to take things over to the other side. I want you to multiply, divide, add, or subtract a value to both sides.
Multiply 3 on that side, and then multiply 3 on that side.
Yes. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to multiply by 3 on both sides. If you're unsure of what to do first, what you want to do is you want to try and eliminate the number that affects the entire side of the equation. Yeah, right there?
So multiply by 3 on both sides.
Why? Because otherwise the equality won't hold anymore.
But you said both.
On both sides of the equation, we're going to multiply by 3. Like so. So we're going to multiply this by 3. And we're going to multiply this by 3. Okay? Because that way, because we know this phrase is still equal, but by multiplying both sides by 3, by 3, both sides remain equal. If we only multiplied this side by 3, the two sides would no longer be equal. One would be 3 times as great as the other one, right? So you have to do the same operation to both sides if you want the equality to still hold. So this means that this is still valid, this equal sign. How this works is then, if we divide this whole expression by 3 and then multiply by 3, that's the same as just leaving it as it was. If you divide a number by 3 and then multiply by 3, the number remains the same. So this side becomes 2x plus 4. We can say that the 3's kind of cancel each other out. And the right side, then, is 12. What would be the next step?
2x plus 4 divided by 2 equals 12 divided by 2?
Yes, you could do that, but I wouldn't recommend it. What I would do is, rather than dividing this whole expression by a number, we want to try and get rid of, what I mentioned at the first was trying to get rid of something that affects the entire equation. If we try to get rid of this 2, well, it's really only affecting the x, it's not really affecting this plus 4. Whereas 4 is being added, if you look at the 4 number here, it's kind of being added to the entire expression here. So what I'll do is this, I'll do like a little quick side note here. If we divided by 2, and what would happen? So 2x plus 4 divided by 2 is equal to 12 divided by 2. Now, when we do division with multiple terms on the top here, how we do it is this. The 2 gets divided into anything that's separated by addition or subtraction. So how this would end up looking is, you would have 2x divided by 2 plus 4 over 2. And you can divide it up like that. It's the same as like adding and subtracting similar fractions. You guys know how to add and subtract fractions with the same denominator, right? It's kind of the similar idea, except we're splitting it up into two fractions rather than combining it into one. Because if we have it like this, and this is equal to 12, then we actually have, if we rewrite this, we have that x plus 2, sorry, this is 12 divided by 2. So we have that x plus 2 is equal to 6, which, well, let me go back to this equation really quick here. So the other solution that we could do to this, to solve this problem over here, is we could instead subtract both sides by 4, like so, again, applying the same operation to both sides, and then we would be left with 2x is equal to 8.
But then you have to divide both sides by 2 to get what x is equal to.
Yes, so, and then our last step, once we have 2x is equal to 8, is to divide both sides by 2. And we get that x is equal to 4. Similarly over here, if we finish this side, if we subtract 2 from both sides here, we still get that x is equal to 4. Using either method. So both methods work. I personally prefer this method because then you don't have to worry about the breaking up these fractions like that. It makes it a little less complicated. So x is equal to 4. This is probably the most complicated thing so far. Does everyone kind of understand this?
Yeah.
You have a question?
Instead of taking away 4 from both sides, subtracting 4 from both sides, why don't you just bring the 4 over to the other side and make it the opposite?
Well, that's essentially what we're doing, right?
Yes, but you're writing a number 4 there. So
essentially, that's what you are doing now. Because if you look at it like this, let me just put my hand here. What have I done? I've taken the plus 4, and I've put it on the other side as a minus 4. I'm just writing out plus 4 minus 4, because it's important to understand that you actually are subtracting the same numbers from both sides when you move things over like that. That is what you're doing. You're just not writing out all the steps. You're not writing out this plus 4 minus 4 thing. That's just being hidden. Right? That step is being skipped, and I just want it to be kind of straightforward that step kind of needs to be there to prove it logically. To prove that these things are still equal to each other. Right? Okay, so last exercise here. Let's just go through the answers quick. So the answer to number 1 was x is equal to 2. Now the process that they got there by, they subtracted 1 from both sides, and this step here is a little tricky. Your logic was correct, but it wasn't really using the same rules that we taught, so I want to kind of just modify that real quick. So we have 3x plus 1 minus 1 is equal to 7 minus 1. So we've subtracted 1 from both sides, which leaves us with 3x is equal to 6, which if we just divide both sides by 3, then we get that x is equal to 2. So you still get the right answer. It was just written a little bit strangely, and I wanted to write it in the kind of the format that you would use for solving equations. So right here, and I have heard a lot of confusion over this question because we don't know what y is, so how can we solve for x? What I would say for that is, if we go back here, well, the volume is equal to the length times width times the height, right, of this prism here, but we don't know what L, W, and H are. So x, we might not know what x is because we're not sure what y is, but we know that x is always going to be y divided by 4, whatever y is. And that's the concept that I was hoping for you guys to understand, is that, it doesn't give us a numerical value, but it still gives us a value that x is equal to. Yeah,
in the back. Doesn't that mean that x equals x? It just says x equals x.
No, it says that x is equal to y divided by 4. So if, perchance in the future, you figure out what y is, then you'll be able to determine what x is.
Where are we?
So answer number 3 was x is equal to 0 by adding 2 to both sides. Number 4, the method that this person used, they actually, instead of multiplying both sides by 2, they used equivalent fractions and equated things based on the fractions, added and subtracted numbers on the fractions. The answer that you should get regardless is x is equal to negative 12. Let me finish by going back to our first page here. So we can show, guys, so we're going to go back to our original problem and then we're going to be done, okay? So our original problem, we can show that this is true for any positive integer. Using algebra. So how we can do this is, and this is what the majority of your word problems are going to be, you're going to have to figure out where you can input variables to help you solve the equation faster. So in this example here, let's choose the number n. So we're not actually choosing a specific number, we're going to use a variable to represent what our number could have been. And we're going to do all of the same operations and see what we end up with if n, and we'll say, you guys can write this beside, but I'm just going to write it up here where there's room. where n is a positive integer. So if we start off with n, we have that n times 4. Well, that's written as 4n, right? And then we add 10 to this, so we have 4n plus 10, which we can't simplify any farther, so we'll leave it like that. Then we're going to divide 4n plus 10 by 2. So this is where you need to use that rule. If you divide an entire expression by a number, you divide each individual part in the brackets by that number. So we would divide 4n by 2. So this would be equal to 2n plus 5, because we divide 2 from each of the individual parts. So 4n plus 10 divided by 2 is 2n plus 5. So then we need to subtract 1 from that. 2n plus 5 minus 1 is equal to 2n plus 4. Then we divide that by 2. Again, we're going to divide both sections of the expression by 2. So we have 2n plus 4, all divided by 2. And that's going to be equal to n plus 2. So now we have n plus 2, and we need to subtract our original number. So what was our original number? N. It was we used the variable n to represent our original number. So we subtract n from 2 minus n. And what does that give us? 2. I've heard one person say it, and then one person...
2.
There we go. More class participation. That's great. Which is equal to 2. So no matter what we choose, we used a variable which represents, as far as we know, a number that we didn't know yet. And even though we didn't know the number, we could still do all of the arithmetic and finally find out that the answer is going to be 2 regardless of what we choose.
That's cool.
So, that is the end of the lesson.